Good morning, Symphony Church. My name is Dan, and I'll be leading us through our devotionals this week as we continue in the book of Joel. And today, I'll be reading for us Joel 2, verses 18 to 27. Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, "Behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. I will remove the northerner far from you, and drive him into a parched and desolate land, his vanguard into the eastern sea, and his rear guard into the western sea. The stench and foul smell of him will rise, for he has done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Fear not, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and the vine give their full yield. Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else. And my people shall never again be put to shame." So just for some context, up to this point in the book of Joel, we see all these warnings that Joel gives to God's people. He paints this picture of how the sins of Judah have angered the Lord and the consequences that they now face. Joel urges his brothers and sisters to turn from their evil ways, and he leads them in this cry of repentance to God. And at the beginning of today's passage in verse 18, we see that God listens. And he doesn't just listen, but it says that the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. This is the turning point in the book of Joel. And as Judah turns and pleads with the Lord, I think we see three beautiful characteristics of God. So first, God shows that he is the protector of his people. You see, Joel had spent much of the earlier parts of this book warning of a mighty army that would come and be a sort of reckoning for Judah, a nation that was massive and powerful, and one that laid waste to the very land that they walked on. This imminent danger, it was a terrifying one, and it was one that was very real. You see, God's people at this point have been recipients of harsh war and brutality, and that was with God kind of on their side. But now the script is flipped, and I think the kingdom of Judah understood the cold reality of the fate that awaited them when God isn't there with them. But we see with their repentance, with the rending of their hearts, as Joel says, Judah's plea to the Lord was heard. God says in verse 20, "I will remove the northerner far from you." He says, "I will remove this force of reckoning from around you and scatter them so that they no longer threaten my people." We see that the same zeal that the Lord had to punish his people suddenly became a zeal to protect them. This impending doom that Judah had brought upon themselves, it was undone by the power of the Lord and his desire to protect his people. But this turning back to the Lord, it didn't just result in this one-time protection for the kingdom of Judah. God also shows that he is the reviver of his people. We see earlier in the book of Joel that the sins of Judah resulted in a sort of decaying of their land. You know, the fields, the vegetation, the food and drink that nourished the people, all these things that God provided, they were taken away. But as Judah returns to the presence of the Lord, we see these things spring back to life in the land. Let me reread a part of our passage for us. "Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain, as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied." And as I read this, it's almost like I'm seeing in front of me the kingdom of Judah go from a desolate, dead, barren desert to this lush and thriving and beautiful sanctuary. Plants are coming back to life, streams are flowing, and every mouth is full and satisfied once again. And we can see this parallel of the land being revived alongside its people being revived. God revives the hearts and the hopes of Judah as they enter back into this abundant land where they care for nothing. And we've seen this image before. We've seen it as the Israelites journeyed into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And more significantly, we've seen it all the way in the beginning at the Garden of Eden, where all things were as they should be. You see, the care of God for his people, it was always coupled with this vibrance and thriving in the land. And we see this happen again in the kingdom of Judah. It shows that God, once again, was caring for his people. So we see so far that God is a protector and a reviver. And for the last characteristic, God shows us that he is the father to his people. In verse 27, God says, "You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else." We see here that God returns to be with his people. He returns to be in the midst of Judah. Just like it was in the garden, he was there, right alongside them. We see God making himself available to his children once again. Even after they grieved his heart so much, he opens his arms and embraces his sons and daughters. As I read this passage, what stands out most to me is God didn't just randomly scatter evil armies. He didn't just rejuvenate lands that were already barren or go from simply being absent to suddenly present. All of these things that afflicted Judah were things that they actually brought on themselves. God's people ran far away from him and chose the path themselves that lead to destruction, to desolation, to forsakenness. But God in his mercy undid the consequences of Judah's sin. Just like in the parable of the prodigal son, we see the father open his arms to receive his child and invite them back to a life together. As we wrap up our devotional for today, I hope this is an encouragement to you. I feel that oftentimes the hardest parts of our journey towards God are the mountains that we ourselves pile up. They're the chasms that we ourselves tear open as we continue to sin and fail. But I hope our passage today comforts you. We can run as far as we can out of shame and weakness, but just like God promises Judah that he will be there for them, God's promise to us in the form of Jesus Christ ensures that his love will always cover that distance. Jesus will always be there for us. All we have to do is turn to him, and he will forgive, and he will love, and we will enter into a relationship with him once more. Let me just close this with prayer. Lord, you are so good that despite the depths of our iniquity and our sin, you still have your arms open for us. Lord, you still seek to protect us and to revive our cold hearts, Lord, and to be a father to us. Thank you, God. Thank you for being so gracious and merciful. And I hope that as we can continue to meditate and reflect on this truth, just like you were to Judah, Lord, may you continue to watch over us. May we continue to praise you and glorify you in response. Father, I just pray for all my brothers and sisters. I pray that that you just be so present in their life today. And I pray that we just give you all the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.